Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We have a great lineup of guests for you on the show today, including Derek Lunston, President and CEO of LifeGuides.com, Valerie Schlitt, CEO of VSA Prospecting, Tom Azelby, Managing Partner of Bandwave Systems, and Craig Smith, Founder and CEO of Trinity. Let's get to know our first guest, Derek Lunston, President and CEO of LifeGuides.com. Derek, what is LifeGuides.com? What kind of stuff are you doing?
LifeGuides is a platform for connecting peer-to-peer relationships with the purpose of healing people's life challenges. The idea that everyone goes through challenges, caring for an aging parent, caring for a child, and there's challenges that go along with that. And someone who's been through that experience can then share that wisdom and share that purpose with someone who's experiencing that same thing or something very similar now to help people work through it more effectively, more healthy, and better resourced.
How large or how small is this organization?
So we've been building the company for the last 3 years. We've raised about $5 million in angel funding. We've got 10 full-time people in Phoenix, Arizona. And we've got a community of about 300-plus life guides that we plan to expand to 1 million people in the next 15 years.
So where are you from originally, and how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
Originally, I'm from northern New Jersey. I'm the oldest of two biological siblings. My parents remarried, and I have got five stepsisters and one biological sister. I'm the oldest of the group. So
you're the oldest of the group. And was there a lot of fighting and stuff amongst mom and dad and the family when you were a kid?
There was a fair amount when I was a kid between my parents. They ultimately divorced when I was in my, in my early 20s.
How do you think that shaped you, that kind of debate and argument or whatever, when you were a kid?
Well, my dad was actually a lawyer, so I actually learned firsthand the experience of how to debate and argue in that way. But I also understood the sensitivity around emotions, how people receive emotions. I was very empathic to what they were experiencing in their relationship.
Wait a second, empathic. I understand you had a previous business success. What was the name of the company and what was that all about?
So that company is called Scrimmage. It's at WeScrimmage or WeScrimmage. And it is about a learning technology platform that helps organizations educate their people using mobile devices. I just recently exited that business after having built it over the last decade.
All right. So you used the word empathic, which is like the word intuitive to me. Yes. And I'm trying to figure out how this touchy-feely stuff has anything to do with building one business and exiting it, building this next one. Because I thought business was all strategy and blood and guts and you fire people. What are you talking about, empathic?
As we talked about before, for me, it's the future of business is all about connecting of people. It's all about human connection. And really, business is a force for change and for what's possible. And ultimately, movement of people as pure resources, as capital, as elements, as cogs in the wheel, to moving to human beings, contributing at a high level, collaborating and creating the future is where I see business moving. And that's what a common theme for both companies and all companies that I've supported have been.
So you're able, on one hand, to understand and to hold your own in a debate or a difficult confrontation circumstance. On the other hand, you got that other side to you, which is the empathic, intuitive, touchy-feely thing going on. So you got both sides going for you.
Absolutely.
Has that helped you in business?
Without a doubt. The integration of those have helped me tremendously, because the grit and the competitiveness, the old world model of business that's allowed us to build to a certain point was needed. And now we're transforming to what business can be. And that goes back to that deep level of understanding of what's possible and tapping into people's innate gifts, their potential, their talents, and bringing that forward to model a better future.
Isn't that what LifeGuides is all about?
Exactly what LifeGuides is all about. I mean, the big vision of LifeGuides is to help 1 billion people thrive / reduce their suffering within 15 years by bringing connection, by bringing human understanding, by using empathy as a force for change and influence for a better tomorrow.
So LifeGuides really is a manifestation of who you are spiritually, isn't it?
That's a good way of looking at it. That's not just me, though. It's about the community. There's a whole group of people like us that are out there that recognize what's possible and that it's going and been building upon that.
What kind of sports did you play as a kid, and what was your favorite sport?
So I played all sorts of sports. I played football. I did track. I wrestled. I love playing football. I love the team elements of it. I love the elements of getting in the
what
game.
What was your role on the team?
I was a running back and I was a lineman.
What was the personality trait you brought to that?
I brought a lot of heart and a lot of grit to it, right? I was a small guy. I was around much bigger people, but I was able to hang in there and compete because I wanted to be there and I wanted to get better every day.
What's that have to do with your business stuff?
It's the same thing for both companies. It's helping people be at their best, helping them unlock their potential, helping them move past their challenges to a greater version to grow. That's really what the common theme has been in my businesses.
And I understand that you also were involved with the trumpet and singing. What was that all about?
Yeah, so my natural giftedness more than sports was in music. So I started playing trumpet at a young age. I started, playing in the band, playing the chorus. I was a soloist. I was all state in these different elements. So I brought that creative, that artistic side, that's frankly part of me, to, the context of sports, which is what I really loved, and that competition, that team element. And so bringing those things together in the context of relationships, like we said, the intuition and the worldly education that I've developed, has been really helpful to integrate all those different lessons.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I understand that something happened with a construction worker and your grandmother when you were a kid. What was that all about?
Yeah, I shared this story before that, I was walking down to look at this project, and I wanted to understand what was going on. And I told my grandmother, I'll do the talking. And that was something we always laughed about. I was 3 years old. I went up, started asking questions and really looking to understand these people and what they were doing. And that's something that, carried forward. That has carried forward in everything that I do, both wanting to build as well as connecting and understanding and really working to help bring people together.
So here on one hand, this football thing, this grit, and yet this creative thing with the music, and this thing that went on where you were with your grandmother and you went over to construction work and you told your grandmother you were going to do the talking. It seems to me like that's really who you are. You really enjoy and you're comfortable approaching people. You have a competitive spirit, but you got this creative thing going on. Yeah. And really, the thing about serving is really what Life Guides is all about. Am I reading it correctly?
I think that's a perfect summation of how I show up in my business and my life, Herb. So thank you for that.
So are you married or single?
I'm married. We had our fifth wedding anniversary this past Saturday.
Uh-huh. You're married. Do you have any kids?
We've got two children. Our daughter is 2.5, and we have a 10-month-old son.
Uh-huh. What's the similarity between being a daddy and being a CEO?
So it's actually, I'm glad you asked that question too, because that's one of the big points right now, is that my focus on my family, the creation, the guidance, the support, the love, the discipline, the guidance is all part of the process, right? I mean, parenting really is the personalization of what I've been doing in business. And I actually talk with my wife, in some ways companies are like children in a different concept, but I have much more love for my children, but the people that are part of these companies, they're all children. We're all part of God's family, frankly. It sounds kind of corny, but it's true. And so I approached it all very similarly, and I frankly hope to be able to pass that lesson along to my kids.
You approach all what the same? What do you mean by you approach it all the same?
But I approach the people that are under my charge, if you will, with providing them leadership, providing them love, providing them support, providing them options to grow, discipline, lessons, and providing them a path, giving them a future, giving them the ability to create their own stamp and to make the world something of purpose while also giving them the backstop.
Are you talking about your kids or your employees now?
Both, Herb.
Oh, what do you mean?
I think of my businesses in many ways as an extension of my family, right? My teams and the people there and the people that we serve. And ultimately, my kids are just my biological, to your point, manifestation of the future. But they both serve a purpose. And business serves the family, and family serves the community.
Business serves the community, and the community serves the business. And so I thought that the key in business is to go make a lot of money, but it doesn't sound to me like that's the primary or only motivation you've got.
So it's actually interesting. So I recently did a kind of an introspective process and journey, and one of the key messages that I received, if you want to call it that, was that I need to release my attachment to money altogether, right? That the idea of money as the outcome, even as a means, was being over amplified, and that truly service and the energetic of providing and giving and using my platform, my ability to help people, is the true currency of what I'm here to be doing. And money is actually needs to be even further deprioritized beyond what I've already seen in my own life.
So what do you enjoy about entrepreneuring?
I love creating. I love bringing ideas to life. I love connecting people who are passionate. I love building things that are of value and of purpose. I love seeing things come forward to help others. I love passing the lessons on to future people, generations that are on their own path, and for us magnifying each other's impact.
So when was the last time you picked up a trumpet?
Memorial Day weekend. I picked up the trumpet. My dad sent me this video about taps around America. And I picked up my trumpet and I played taps in my backyard in honor of the service men and women that gave their lives and sacrifice for the life that we live here now.
Oh, interesting. What's the website address for this organization known as Life Guides?
Lifeguides.com.
All right, let me have that one more time.
Lifeguides.com.
Lifeguides, lifeguides, plural.com. We've been speaking with Derek Lunston, CEO and president of lifeguides.com here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. And please stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go away.
Recognize your deserving business advisors on our nation's leading Business with Heart radio show, Executive Leaders Radio. Yes, recognize, you can recognize your deserving business advisors on our nation's leading Business with Heart radio show, executiveleadersradio.com. Simply visit executiveleadersradio.com, securely enter their info, and we'll reach out to spotlight your deserving business advisors on our nation's leading Business with Heart radio show, executiveleadersradio.com. Don't wait. This radio and online social media and search engine exposure is quite valuable. Yes, this radio and online social media and search engine exposure is quite valuable to your business advisors who deserve to be recognized. Visit executiveleadersradio.com now to nominate your deserving business advisors for free exposure.
Now there's a natural way to take charge of your blood pressure. Introducing new Garlic Healthy Blood Pressure Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals. And it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood pressure with new Garlic Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Ian Roth. Many people use lip balm. It's a practice Dr. Don Davis, a dermatologist at Mayo Clinic, fully supports.
So the application of a lip product, whether that be a gloss or a stick or a swab, is a very positive thing to do for your skin. And we know that using moisturizer with sunscreen on the lips helps decrease the risk of skin cancer to the lips.
But Dr. Davis says sharing your lip product should be off limits.
I would always keep my lip swabs to myself. This swab can be a potential carrier of germs, including potentially a virus.
Dr. Davis says that's because germs and viruses can be spread by fomites or shared cosmetics like this. So the next time a friend or family member reaches for your lip balm,
it is completely polite to say no to sharing cosmetics. I think that we're all in the habit in society of not sharing toothbrushes and utensils without them being clean. And just similarly, we should have this same habit with cosmeceuticals.
For more information, talk with your healthcare provider or visit mayoclinic.org.
The Labor Day's event's begun at Gap Factory and GapFactory.com. Get 50 to 70% off almost everything, plus new doorbusters from $5.99, including deals on jeans, tees, and more. Find it all at the Gap Factory or GapFactory.com through September 9th. Head into the new season with Banana Republic Factory. Save on faves with 50 to 70% off everything, plus clearance's extra 50% off. Shop dresses, sweaters, jackets, and more from $19.99. Find your nearest store or shop online, only at Banana Republic Factory.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Valerie Schlitt, CEO of an organization known as VSA Prospecting. Valerie, what is VSA Prospecting? What kind of stuff are you guys doing?
We develop leads, qualified sales leads for businesses across the country. We've got 100 people. About 40 of them are full-time and 60 of them are part-time.
Who's your perfect client and what are you doing for your perfect client?
So our perfect client is a middle market company, often in software, often targeting healthcare institutions, and they just simply don't have enough leads for their sales team to close sales on, and we deliver those leads.
Tell me a little bit about where you're from originally.
I'm from right here in Haddonfield, New Jersey.
Haddonfield, New Jersey, and how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
So I'm the oldest. There's five of us. Two brothers came next, then two sisters.
Tell me a little bit about what was going on 8 to 14. You mentioned that you were involved with babysitting and school. Well, what made you different than all the other babysitters when you were a kid?
I really made a point of getting down on the ground and doing activities with the kids. I was not a babysitter that let them just sit in front of the TV. I was part of them.
Didn't that take a lot of extra work, though?
Yes, always. I was always working.
But you felt comfortable with that. How long did you do babysitting for? From what age to what age?
I think I was the longest running babysitter there was. I babysat all the way through almost the beginning of my senior year of high school. Every weekend.
So your nature is to create something and really stick with it. This VSA prospecting, how old is this business?
We're close to 20 years, 19. I founded it in 2001.
So your nature really is to start something and create it and build it. And you mentioned that in Haddonfield when you were a kid, there was some sort of a neighborhood club that you helped create. What was that all about?
Yeah, it was a group of us, pals from the neighborhood. I was the oldest, and it went down to maybe 6 years younger than I was, and about 15 of us, and we created this club. I was kind of a glue that kept it together.
Were you the glue that helped form it or that kept it together?
Both. I formed it and kept it together. Yes, both.
And you mentioned to me earlier when we were talking that you just have this thing in you that drives you. What was that all about? What are you talking about?
You know, I've tried to figure this out my whole life, but it's basically having some kind of a vision, a glimpse of what the vision might be in the future, and always trying to go for it. And then once it's achieved, going to the next one. But you never really totally see. I have a feeling of what things might be, and then I keep on going for that.
The business model you have is a reasonably unique business model, and it sounds to me like it really serves your clients, the fact that you keep setting the hurdle higher and higher and higher for yourself and to serve your clients. Am I correct about that?
Yeah. Actually, I had no idea when I started this that this was actually a business model that others were following. It followed the same kind of thing as the club. I had this idea. I was going to help these clients. They came to me. I fulfilled their need, and then new ones came that had more challenge, and then I fulfilled their needs, and I just was like peeling back the onion and just kept on going until all of a sudden I discovered, wow, I actually have a business, and I discovered there are other businesses like mine, but I think that we do it better. First of all, I'm all about laying the foundation. Growth is really important to me, but growth came secondarily. The foundation came first. So we do it better because there's all sorts of, I have really studied what does it take to make this thing work. And there's about four or five ingredients. So I make sure that I focus on each of those ingredients and that we get it right before we go to the next step.
You'll talk to different kinds of businesses and you'll have businesses lined up that might be able to help them in advance. That's the foundation you're talking about. So when you speak to a potential client for your clients, you've already laid the groundwork for everybody to win together?
Yeah, or even the support systems that we use to help our clients, we are often the first that's using those support systems that I've found through networking. But it's a little bit of a risk-taking and not necessarily knowing whether this is actually going to work or not, and proving whether it works or doesn't work, and then just continuing with it and adding the next layer on.
So you're meeting potential clients and sometimes they've never used a service like yours, but you're able to demonstrate to them that your kind of service really does work?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you just pointed out something very unique. We have started something that I've never heard of, where we give people this test drive day and we allow them to test us out. And then if it works, then we go forward with them. Yes.
So your business is 20 years old. Do you have clients that have been with you for a long time?
Yes. I don't think we've had any that are 20 years old, but maybe the oldest is about, 13 years old.
Wow. Wow. So you really do like long-term relationships. How about in terms of the team? Are there team members that have been with you for a long time?
Absolutely. Some as long as that client. We've gotten best places to work for several years in a row, and we pride ourselves in keeping our employees because I guess I am a very much of a long-term relationship type person. And the more that we can keep our clients, the more they know about the clients, and the better the clients are off.
So you really enjoy the process of creating, it sounds like.
Oh, I love the building part. I'm not good at maintaining the operations. Of course, I've done that for most of those 19 years because I had to. But I really love the visioning of what's going to happen next and where could we go to.
Are you more like mom or dad?
I'm a combination of both. Dad's temperament, which is the even keel and keep things going. And mom is the driver, looking out to the future. What are we going to do next? What are we going to add on to it? Where's the excitement going to come? Yeah.
Was mom business oriented?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, in the very early stages of being a child, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, but then she went and she had a series of different businesses. She was in antiques and then real estate, and then she did a lot of art collection, and now she manages some real estate properties, and she's 86 years old.
Did you ever give your mom a hand with her businesses when you were a kid?
No, but I definitely learned a lot from her. I was often away at school when she was in that stage of her life, but she shared a lot in talking to us about what she was doing.
So what kind of stuff did you learn from mom that you bring to work every day?
Finding the next exciting thing that can make what I am doing better than it was yesterday and better for our clients and better for our employees. And she's incredibly passionate and that's where I got that.
So your nature is next. It's always next. You're always looking at the future.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. It is. That's what makes life fun for me anyway.
Uh-huh. So you really enjoy looking at what's next in terms of for your business as well as, so you're creating. Your business is a creation for you. That's why, as opposed to, loving the operational details of it, you really enjoy taking a look at what's next, how you can evolve the business. So you're always planning. Planning's second nature to you, isn't it?
Planning is often more fun than actually doing. I love planning. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And I mean, the planning that you do, is this with teams of people? Is this on paper? How do you do your planning?
Well, I'm highly collaborative. However, I think best when I'm by myself. I know, though, to get everyone to buy into what we are going to do, it has to be a team effort. So what we actually do is often partly driven by me and then adds on by the other people who have ideas to even make it better than mine.
So you'll think of something, but then you'll get the mention on it through the other people.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And let me ask you a question. So you've been in business 20 years. So do you still go into work really early in the morning and leave really late at night? Or what time do you start work in the morning?
Oh, my goodness. I do take a walk in the morning. But if I didn't take a walk, I'd probably be at my desk at 6. Mm-hmm. And I usually leave around 7 in the night evening.
So you put in a long day. You really enjoy putting the energy on the table. What's the website address for VSA Prospecting?
www.vsaprospecting.com.
We've been speaking with Valerie Schlitt, CEO of VSA Prospecting, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break.
Endless loads of laundry? Lowe's has just what you need to bring reliability to your laundry room. A Maytag front load laundry pair in an exclusive metallic slate finish. It features the most powerful cleaning in the industry, driven by a heavy duty cycle with extra power button. Shop Labor Day deals on Lowe's.com today and get up to 35% off select appliances like this Maytag laundry pair and more. Bring on style this Labor Day with Lowe's. Offer valid through 9/16, U.S. only.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
When everything is changing, you need a store that's a constant. A store that has the brands your family loves and the value that you need. A store where you can stock up, pick up, and drive up. A store that's close to home and feels like home. A store that puts the health and safety of you and your family above all else. And a store that's always here to help. At Kohl's, we don't know what next year will look like. We just know that we'll be here for you no matter what. Kohl's, here today, here to stay. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Here is your healthcare update with America's healthcare advocate, Kerry Hall.
Does exercise really help keep you young as you get older? I'll be back to tell you more. A sedentary lifestyle isn't good for anyone, but particularly should be avoided as we age. Although some age-related muscle loss may be inevitable, much of the decline in muscle tissue is blamed on aging that is really due to inactivity. So if you're a couch potato, here's what happens. Muscle mass diminishes, the metabolism can change drastically, causing obesity, impaired glucose tolerance, changes in the body's ability to regulate temperature, and weakened bones, thereby increasing risk from falls and injury. How many older folks do you know that have fallen and injured themselves? Well, all that can be avoided if you simply exercise. Exercise can make a huge difference. The person who stays physically fit will not only look good and feel good, their skin, tissue, organs, and bones will all have the components of youth. So yes, you can reverse the aging process, or at least slow it down, through exercise.
Our veterans risked it all to protect our freedom. One of the best ways to say thank you is to volunteer to support them. At a time in history where kindness is a virtue, volunteering means a lot. For over 47 years, Help Heal Veterans, a not-for-profit organization, with the support of citizens like you, have delivered therapy kits to veterans who need them. To volunteer or learn more, visit HealVets.org. That's HealVets.org.
Back, you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my guest, Tom Azelby, who's the managing partner of an organization known as Bandwave Systems. Tom, what is Bandwave Systems? What are you guys doing?
Herb, we're a broadband aggregator in the telecommunications industry, so we deliver last-mile internet connectivity over 100 different carriers to large enterprises with 50 to 1,000 locations.
All right, give me that easier to understand. What are you talking about?
Sure, we're kind of like a distributor. So you have the Comcast of the world, AT&T, Verizon. There's a lot of carriers out there. There's a lot of different types of internet connectivity. So if you're a large enterprise IT decision maker and you have to build a new wide area network across all your retail stores, distribution, healthcare facilities, if you come to Bandwave, we'll handle all that because we're a wholesaler for all the different carriers throughout North America. So we can deliver that enterprise IT decision maker one contract, one bill, and one customer support.
Wow. Give me an idea. How'd you get a job with this company?
Well, I actually founded it with my college roommate back in 2000. So we're in our 20th year today.
Wow. And tell me a little bit about where'd you grow up originally?
I grew up in North Jersey in Bergen County.
How many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I had two brothers and one sister. I'm the third of four.
Third of fourth. And you told me that when you were a kid, that you got a job at Yankee Stadium, and you were a vendor there, and you worked there for 2 years. What did you do different than all the other vendors at Yankee Stadium, and were you successful?
Yeah, well, I think the most important thing you do is you would show up and hope to get called in. They'd call in people based on the size of the crowd. So if you were there standing outside waiting to be called in, as long as you were consistent showing up, they'd recognize you, bring you in, and you could make some money.
And so you evidently were pretty persistent in terms of showing up because they got to recognize you. And even after they brought you in, were you successful? Like, how successful were you as opposed to the other kids that were selling stuff in Yankee Stadium?
Well, it's all commission-based. So if you had a rack of sodas, the quicker you could sell that rack of soda, run up and down those stairs, unload them as quick as possible, get back to the pickup room, grab another rack, and go out. So there was a lot of hustle involved.
Uh-huh. And you were successful with that?
Yes, I was.
Uh-huh. What's that hustle? What's that hard work? That implicit hard work have to do with your success here at Bandwave Systems?
Well, I mean, that type of job is hard work because you're moving, running, you're dealing with the New York crowd. So when we started Bandwave, we had a new concept and we had to go out to an industry and convince them. And we were a small operation. We had, our customers are larger organizations. So we had to convince them that this little specialized company could deliver what they need. So that's the kind of hustle that we had to put behind Bandwave when we started. And it was tough. We've been around 20 years, but we say the first 5 years were tough and the next two were worse. It was a long grind, but we've had some really good success for the past 10 years.
And tell me a little bit about what kind of sports did you play?
I played all different sports as a kid, but I played football. That was something I focused on, and I played through high school and then I played at a small college.
And what was your role on the football team position?
I played nose guard. I was an undersized nose guard.
Uh-huh. And what was the personality trait that you brought to being an undersized nose guard?
I think you have to be tenacious. You gotta really want it because you're going up against bigger guys. You got to be a little bit quicker, try to be a little bit stronger. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, if they have those characteristics, it's a good foundation.
It sounds to me like, you know, there was a similar characteristic you brought to really working hard and hustling as a vendor at Yankee Stadium, and the same tenacious personality trait you brought to being nose guard on the football team. Now, does that tie into who you are nowadays and the reason that this organization known as Bandwave Systems has been successful?
Yeah, I would think that you have to be committed, and any entrepreneur knows this. There's dedication to just showing up every day. Sometimes that's the toughest part, especially in the beginning. You got to keep showing up. You got to keep chopping wood, and you got to look for opportunity. And I kind of think that kind of upbringing, working in the South Bronx, New York, playing football, I think those characteristics help you kind of tough it out through the tough times.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that when you were 16-ish, your dad was able to help you get a gig in, I think it was New York, as a stagehand. What were you doing as a stagehand?
It was fun in the sense, you know, you're on a television set, a soap opera, you're behind the scenes of a Broadway show, you're knocking down scenery, building it, or working at a show and having certain cues, which could be pulling a curtain or moving scenery at a certain time. But you work with a lot of older people, older guys, and as a young person, you kind of learn how the world works, good and bad.
Mm-hmm. So what'd you learn from working as a stagehand that's helped you build this very successful Bandwave Systems?
Once again, that's paying attention. Don't miss your cue. If you ever miss a cue, you won't be working again. So you gotta pay attention. You gotta be focused, and you gotta keep up with everybody else.
Wait, when you say miss a cue, what's that have to do with Bandwave? I understand as a stagehand. What's that have to do with Bandwave Systems with the business?
That's a good question. So a client calls and they have a problem. You gotta get back to them right away. You're building a sales strategy. You have to be right there to answer the question. You can't miss the opportunity. So I kind of think you always got to stay one step ahead of your customers, your partners, your carriers. So as a stagehand, as a show's going on, you have certain cues. You got to be in a certain spot at a certain time. You can take that type of perspective and throw it into business. So you got to always be one step ahead of what's coming down the road. So I would kind of compare to a stagehand to being an entrepreneur, starting a business. That's some of the things you got to do.
And you mentioned you also worked as a bar back in a bar. And what's a bar back in a bar do? What would you bring to that role?
Well, that's just running beer and ice up to the bar and keeping the bartenders happy. So that's something where you just got to kind of dig in and get the job done. But it was fun.
Mm-hmm. So of all these jobs you had as a kid, which one did you enjoy the most and why?
Yeah, I think I learned the most and enjoyed the most was going to Yankee Stadium, because as a kid, it kind of opened your eyes up to the world. You know, the good and bad. It's a big stadium. I had to take public transportation into the South Bronx. I think I got a quick look at life at a young age, where most kids were still at home, maybe working at a local retail store. I was kind of going into the city on my own, and seeing what was out there. So it was
Weren't your parents afraid for you? I mean, you're 14 years old, taking buses and trains and through the city of Manhattan. And like, whoa, weren't they afraid for you?
That's a good question. But my father was a stagehand and a New York City police officer. So I think he thought I could handle it, and he allowed me to do it.
Mm-hmm. What'd your mother think?
I don't think she was crazy about it. But going out to work was a big deal in my family, for all my siblings. We all went to work.
Did you want to go to work?
Yes, I really enjoyed it.
Why was going out to work a big thing in your family? What are you talking about? Was that talked to? I mean, how was that encouraged, or how'd that happen?
That definitely came through my parents, my father especially, based on his upbringing. That he always said you had to be out hustling. You always wanted to be working. And I guess as a kid, you're impressionable to how important that was to him, and you want to make your father happy, and you go out and hustle. And the bigger thing was, the more you work, the more you learn. I actually think for entrepreneurs too, the more jobs you have, and I don't know if the kids of today work as much as we did. I'm sure some are, but I think if you want to be an entrepreneur, I think having a lot of jobs teaches a lot of life skills. So I highly recommend you get your kids out there working.
What's the website address for this organization known as Bandwave Systems?
It's bandwavesystems.com.
How do you spell that? Give me that one more time.
Sure. It's BANDWAVE systems.com.
We've been talking with Tom Azelby, who's the managing partner and co-founder of Bandwave Systems here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, don't go away. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
You now can recognize your deserving business advisors on our nation's leading Business with Heart radio show, executiveleadersradio.com. Yes, recognize, you can recognize your deserving business advisors on our nation's leading Business with Heart radio show, executiveleadersradio.com. Simply visit executiveleadersradio.com, securely enter their info, and we'll reach out to spotlight your deserving business advisors on our nation's leading Business with Heart radio show, executiveleadersradio.com. Don't wait. This radio and online social media and search engine exposure is quite valuable to your advisors. Yes, this radio and online social media exposure is free and quite valuable to your business advisors who deserve to be recognized. Visit executiveleadersradio.com now to nominate your deserving business advisors.
Hiring can be challenging, but ZipRecruiter makes it fast and easy. We talked to Monica Starks, who needed to hire for a pivotal role at her company, GS Group.
As the owner of a construction company, finding the right people is a very difficult task. So I use ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology identifies the right people for your job and actively invites them to apply, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. Monica did, and that's how she found Lamont, her new project superintendent.
The job is so perfect for me. I had a career breakthrough. I would have never found this job if it wasn't for ZipRecruiter.
With ZipRecruiter, we've hired everyone from accountants to project managers to field scientists. With ZipRecruiter, we get hiring results.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together, we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-579-6960. 800-579-6960. 800-579-6960.
Back, you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Craig Smith, founder and CEO of an organization known as Trinity. Craig, what do you guys do at Trinity? What is Trinity?
Hey, Trinity is a company that helps businesses improve their digital sales and performance. We help them drive traffic to their websites and make their experience better so they ultimately can grow and gain more customers from the internet.
And how large or how small is this team?
The team is 31 people.
And how'd you get a job with this company?
I actually founded it back in 2006 when I saw there was an opportunity relating to e-commerce with the lower middle market.
Where are you from originally?
From the Philadelphia suburbs.
And how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
Yeah, I have one sister, and I am the youngest.
So tell me a little bit about how young, what kind of sports did you play as a kid? What kind of sports were you interested in?
I loved soccer, basketball, football. Definitely probably the most loved watching football and playing basketball.
And basketball, what was your role on the team?
I was kind of like the grinder, you know. I mean, I'm just always defending and rebounding and just hustling, trying to spark and give us some energy.
So you were the guy that was trying to add energy to the team. You were the guy that was hustling, trying to make things happen?
Yeah, I wasn't the best dribbler, wasn't the best shooter, but definitely the most effort.
Definitely the most effort. What's definitely the most effort have to do with this organization known as Trinity?
Well, no, that's a great question. What I would say is we're really focused every day in getting better internally and helping our customers get better. And that's really what's great about e-commerce and the digital market is it's so measurable that, you know, we can do that and each month say, hey, we're making progress towards our goal.
And how young were you when you started money and what were you doing to make money when you were a kid?
Okay, so starting to make money, I would say when I was 10 years old, I was buying and selling baseball and football cards at the local conventions. And then from there, I got...
All right. Whose idea was it to buy and sell the baseball cards?
Well, back then, baseball cards, and they're actually gaining in popularity now. It was just a really big in mainstream America, and I was really enjoyed getting the cards, opening the packs, seeing who you get, going to the shows, buying and selling. It was fun. It's a little bit of a marketplace as a kid.
How many years or how long did you do that for?
I'd say 3 to 4 years, maybe.
What'd you do with the money you made?
I probably spent it on toys.
Oh.
Some stuff. I don't know what it was.
Did you reinvest that money?
I don't think I did.
And tell me a little bit about what was the next job you had after 10 years old starting to buy and sell cards?
Yeah, so then I worked when I was 13 for Prudential Insurance. My mom was an associate there, and she aligned me with one of the employees being their assistant, making cold calls at night. And basically the cold calls were introducing the value prop of Prudential and trying to set meetings. And I would get reimbursed on or get paid on, you know, the meetings I scheduled. So it was a good taste of performance-based jobs.
Uh-huh. And you were 13 when you were doing that, making phone calls at night, talking to adults, huh?
Yeah, I had a script, but, you know, I'd ask questions.
Uh-huh. Tell me a little bit about what happened at 14.
You know, then I left Prudential for the summer and got a summer job from, you know, all day working in a warehouse, putting O-rings into little tiny envelopes for 8 hours. So in a day, I'd probably do, you know, 1,000, if not more, of these O-ring envelopes, just cranking them out. They were all in a big barrel.
So when you did that job, it's interesting. You said you were cranking them out as opposed to goofing off. You just really nailed it. You just did it, didn't you?
You know, one time I did get caught, you know, watching TV in the warehouse, and I got yelled at, and I never did it again.
So, uh-huh. What's that hustle, putting those O-rings in those envelopes? What's that have to do with building this thing called Trinity?
You know, I think that is about work ethic, and that every day you just kind of, you're counted on. You need to be accountable. You got to produce. And at Trinity, you know, everybody in our team knows that's what we expect. We expect everyone to be their best and focus on helping the customer reach their goals.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you have an older sister. What did you learn from your older sister that you bring to work every day?
Yeah, what I would say I learned from my older sister is she's really able to keep a level head in stressful situations. And inevitably in business, especially as an entrepreneur, those times are going to come up a lot. And when they do, you can't get too affected emotionally. You got to keep a level head because you're going to make better decisions.
Hmm. What did mom do for a living?
So my mom was a stay-at-home mom. So she worked part-time, as I mentioned before, but mostly a stay-at-home mom, and just was absolutely the best moms anyone could ever ask for.
What do you bring from mom to work every day?
You know, with my mom, I would say just a positive attitude and being relatable with people. More than anybody, she is just so good at starting conversation and making people feel at ease. And I think in a sales and marketing role, which is much of my job at Trinity as a leader, it's important to be able to have that ability to just make someone feel at ease and that you actually care and are looking out for, you know, a good path forward for them.
Mm-hmm. And what did Dad do for a living?
My dad was an entrepreneur as a stay-at-home, or I should say work-at-home engineer. So he did engineering for a lot of Philadelphia's companies like Roman Haas and Gil Bain, just helping them with engineering needs that they had.
So what did you learn from Dad that you're using nowadays to build this organization known as Trinity?
Focus. You know, he could sit down in his office with his drawings for hours with a deep level of focus that was all pointed to a final goal, which for him was a deadline. So I learned that ability to focus and just close the door and mm-hmm. put on your analyst hat or put on your strategic hat to, mm-hmm. you know.
So you started this organization, Trinity, how many years ago?
We are celebrating our 15th year anniversary next year. So back in 2006, we started.
So how come you haven't started something else or done something else? Or why are you continuing to do this?
I do have a couple other small side ventures. But I continue to do this because the market is growing. We're growing. Every day, the digital landscape changes. So it's always ways we can innovate and differentiate in the market. It's also a lot of fun. It's exciting. It's not mundane, that's for sure. You're going to have up months, down months, and deal with a myriad of issues, but that's what makes it exciting.
What time do you get started working in the morning? What time do you stop working at night?
Yeah, usually I get up at 6 o'clock, get to the office around 6:45 or so, you know, handle the early morning communications, get into meetings, conduct outreach when needed, and just build relationships ultimately. And then I usually wrap up around, you know, 5:30 to head home with my kiddos, which I have 5, and get a quick workout in if possible.
Mm-hmm. You have 5 children.
I do.
Mm-hmm. How do you balance the building of a business and some other little side ventures with being a dad with 5 kids? How's that all work out?
You know, it can be difficult, but I'll say this. In this new economy post-COVID, it's become a lot easier. I'm not traveling. I can get really good time in at night versus being on the road. And, you know, just make sure that the time you spend is focused on really just the going outside, playing.
Mm-hmm. Any of the kids remind you of you?
My son Aiden, for sure. He's already got the entrepreneurial bug. I've kind of planted it, you could say, but we're talking about, hey, what things could you do in the next couple of years?
How old is he?
He is 12.
He's 12 years old. And does he know what his father was doing at 10, 11, 12, 13, 14?
You know, we haven't really talked. He has. I gave him a lot of my leftover baseball cards. Him and Christian, I gave them both my leftover cards. And, you know, I was showing them kind of the values. And I do have a Michael Jordan rookie they're fascinated by. But mm-hmm. he's not super into doing that yet for money. But I think he'll get the entrepreneurial itch as he gets older.
Mm-hmm. So at home, who wears the pants in the family, you or your wife?
Oh, my wife for sure. Mm-hmm. She's the queen.
Uh-huh. And how do you feel about sharing that responsibility?
Wearing the pants, I come in for discipline when they don't listen to her.
What's the best part of your job?
Best part of my job is honestly, I love sharing positive news with the team because we're all in this together in terms of getting better, reaching our goals, and you know, obviously being the best agency that we can be in this market.
What's the similarity between being a dad and being the CEO?
Great question. I would say the ability to listen. You know, as a parent, sometimes you want to, you know, push your way of thinking or your desires down the throat of your kids, and you get stonewalled. And my daughter Emma is notorious for that. You don't get the outcome. But if you listen first, and one of my favorite quotes is "Seek first to understand, then be understood." You know, I find that works better both in business and in with my family.
What's the website address of this organization known as Trinity?
You can check us out at trinity.one, spelled O-N-E.
Give me that one more time.
Trinity.one, and it's spelled O-N-E as the one.
Mm-hmm. Trinity. All right. We've been speaking with Craig Smith, founder and CEO of Trinity, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we've had the opportunity of speaking with Derek Lunston, president and CEO of lifeguides.com, Valerie Schlitt, CEO of VSA Prospecting, Tom Azelby, managing partner of Bandwave Systems, and again, most recently, Craig Smith, founder and CEO of Trinity. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Hopefully, we deliver to you an educational and entertaining show. Again, don't forget to visit our website, Executive Leaders Radio. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español.
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely gonna help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et du vient tout.
Now try Babbel for free. Just go to babbel.com to start learning a new language today. That's B-A-B-B-E-L.com.